2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good afternoon. It's 6:30 at KSL. I'm Maria Shalaya, sitting in for Jeff Kaplan today. Sunny in downtown Salt Lake City and 86 degrees. KSL's top story this hour: the best possible outcome in the search for a missing Farmington woman with dementia. Police say a helicopter crew spotted her and her dogs after they spent all night lost in the mountains. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has more.
Even though Laura Waldron has dementia, her family says she still loves walking her dogs along the trails behind her home. Her brother Chad says they figured out a system so she could find her way back.
They use landmarks to kind of get her back. The cannonball was one of the landmarks that she uses.
But Farmington Police Chief Wayne Hansen says Waldron got disoriented and ended up in the Hornet Creek area about 6,500 feet up.
To get where she got, she'd have had to got through some pretty thick brush and really worked to get where she was.
Hansen says Waldron was dehydrated, had some cuts and bruises and a bad sunburn, but was alert and talking to rescuers. Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
A major ruling today from the Utah Supreme Court on transgender rights after 3.5 years. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz has details.
The Utah Supreme Court ruling today, people can now change their government documents like birth certificates to their preferred gender identity.
Passports, driver's license. What people don't understand is that now that goes into health care, because a woman needs different health care than a man needs health care.
Angie Rice, one of the plaintiffs in the suit brought before the court, has been battling for years after an Ogden judge denied her from changing hers, saying the issue was a legislative one.
I think I had no idea how much tension was being held inside.
Today, she says all that changed.
It really now has made transgender individuals. There's no difference now under the Utah Constitution, under Utah law.
Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
Some animal shelters say people are returning dogs that they adopted during the pandemic. Calista Pearson with Salt Lake County Animal Services says, before you do that, reach out to a place like them for help.
You know, a lot of us have advice. We're trying to help prevent that from happening, because your dog, the best place for it to be usually is still in your home. I think just with right tools, we can help people be more successful and help their pets be more relaxed and be great dogs.
Pearson says Utah is not seeing high numbers of returns, though. KSL's top national stories this hour. We are hearing now from the family of one of two Asian women attacked and stabbed, apparently at random, at a San Francisco bus stop. It's the latest attack on elderly Asian residents in cities nationwide. Here's ABC's Alex Stone in California.
Tuesday was grocery day for 85-year-old Chu Fong, who had taken the bus that afternoon to Chinatown to buy food.
She's independent. She's very headstrong, and if she has to do something, she's going to do it. So, yeah, that's just her.
Drew is her grandson. She was sitting at a bus stop when she and another Asian woman were stabbed. After surgery, she's expected to survive. Police arrested a 54-year-old man who has a long criminal history, including assault with a deadly weapon. Alex Stone, ABC News.
After the death of Army Soldier Specialist Vanessa Guillen last year, Fort Hood underwent an intense review for its handling of sexual harassment and assault complaints. The Texas Army base was told to make dozens of changes to their protocols, and they've reportedly already started the process. Congressman Marv Vesey on the House Military Personnel Subcommittee spoke to reporters after a two-day meeting with base command.
We could have been doing better. And I believe that Fort Hood really can be a pace setter and making change throughout the military for bases everywhere around the country and around the globe.
Fort Hood is also reportedly rolling out a new program to improve communication between soldiers and their families. The Justice Department is appealing a federal judge's decision to vacate the moratorium on rent. The CDC's temporary federal eviction moratorium has been extended multiple times. It was first enacted last fall by the Trump administration. The CDC has sought to extend the rule through the end of June. The judge alleges the CDC is overstepping its authority. After Georgia passed its controversial election law last month, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed one of his own. ABC's Gene Wexler is in Orlando with more.
It's the first bill signing I've ever done live on a national broadcast.
Governor Ron DeSantis defended only allowing Fox News to broadcast the signing.
But that's broadcast to millions of people.
Part of the law blocks election supervisors from using private grants for staffing and equipment.
We're going to make sure our elections are transparent and they're not being funded by special interests.
The law also restricts the mass mailing of ballots and requires drop boxes be available only when early voting sites are open. There are already at least three lawsuits in Florida challenging the constitutionality of the law. Gene Wexler, ABC News, Orlando.
The Census Bureau shows a lot of people are moving out of America's largest cities. The data released this week shows increased declines in the nation's densest metros and gains in small cities in the Sun Belt and the West. The Bureau says people are motivated by a desire to be closer to family and a new freedom to make it happen because of remote working. Ricky Meese, are we seeing any relief out there on the roads?
Well, yes and no.
It's been a tough one today.
It really has. Construction is just not easy to navigate up north. And so we saw multiple crashes on both the north and southbound side of I-15 in Davis and Weber counties. Salt Lake County is still dealing with issues. We have a new accident, I'm afraid. The hits just keep on coming. This crash is northbound I-15 at the 1300 South exit. At least it's at the exit ramp and not on the main flow. But even there, it's blocking a right lane of traffic. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Coming up next, who has the world's lowest voice? Jeff Kaplan is going to tell us in his minute of news. Stay with us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.